This means I must pack my things and leave, because I'm not a good teacher. Come on, some encouragement. It means someone overcollects if he feels a need, an emptiness inside, and therefore tries to fill that up with either food, I'm interpreting you now, with either food or material sense gratification, adhyahara. How can we overcome the desire for adhyahara? Oh, yes. We should connect ourselves with Krishna. Yes, thank you. We were hearing yesterday that if we are situated in the concept that I'm an eternal servant of Krishna and nothing of this world will fulfill me, then we can overcome adhyahara. Thank you very much. The next thing which was discussed was prayasha. This means
ulaganje previše napora
or over endeavoring for material things. What types of prayasha are there, or over endeavor? There was karma prayasha and jnana prayasha. Good. Karma prayasha means to endeavor for material things, like the materialists who want to build a house and who want to, you know, have many attractive sex partners and endeavor for this. And jnana prayasha means, like an ass, you heap material information or you get material information which is not good for spiritual life. And here I want to make one little point which I feel is important. Our devotee yesterday asked me that sometimes young devotees have to go to the facultate. Is this jnana prayasha, or should they leave the faculty? At that time I answered no. We cannot spread a movement if everyone runs away from school. What will the society think of Krishna consciousness? I also will add here that going to school is not in itself so terribly bad. It can oil your brain a little bit. You may not use the subject matters in your life, but you will use the capability to think. So those of you who are young, please continue your school. Now, of all these prayasas or endeavors, one was considered to be the most detrimental, this over-endeavor. Who remember what this was? The endeavor to become famous or become praised. I really think this arrangement is not your translation is very good, but the arrangement, can you the loudspeaker is somewhere else. No, where is the loudspeaker for the creation devotees? Does this work? Resume? Yes? Predavanye, okay? Good. Good. So, is all endeavor bad? No. What endeavor is good? Endeavor in Krishna consciousness. Why? Because it is transcendental, or it is the nature of the soul to be connected with Krishna. We should not be how do you say it, lackadaisical or negligent in our endeavors for Krishna consciousness, because that brings us to the eternal spiritual world. All right, so we have covered these 2 points now, Adhyahara and Prayasha. Today we will go into Prajalpa. This will be a little humorous, and into Niyamagraha. You will be very interested to hear what I will have to say. Some of you might feel very much touched in the heart. Slujati. So, Prajalpa refers to idle talk, things which are not really necessary. There are many types of Prajalpa. One type is just useless talk. This is called in Sanskrit Jalpa or Prajalpa. You don't really have something important to talk about, but you talk. Sometimes amongst friends, this jalpa is there. How are you? When did you come? When do you go? You know, and so on and so forth. The second type of talk is vitendra. This is also called prajalpa. Vitendra means you want to defeat the other person. When you talk, for instance, you would like to say, you are wrong and I am right. You do not care for truth, but you just want to defeat the other person. Do you know such type of talk? When you meet people who always want to be right, you can't really communicate with them, because you know they will just put their big ego trip on you. This is called vitendra. Now the ideal type of talk is called vada. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that amongst all the different types of talks, he is vada. That is the conclusion. You talk in order to find out the truth. When you, for instance, meet someone, why did you come? You should ask deep questions. Why did you come to the camp? Or what is inside of you? What are you doing? What do you think? What is important to you? In this way, you come to a deep level of talk, and you avoid prajalpa, or unnecessary type of talk. Amongst useless talk is also the newspaper talk. You read in the newspaper, for instance, in Germany we have the Spiegel. Der Spiegel, genau. If you read any article in the Spiegel, at the end, what did he say? What was the matter? You know, it's just, it really doesn't get to any depths, doesn't create any impression. That's newspaper talk. TV, radio, novels, or the biological, or when you have eaten, then you sit and talk and talk and talk, and it's just useless. Do you know this type of talk? After eating, one is very talkative. Somehow the food is in the stomach. That means the blood is out of the brain. And then the brainless talk starts to happen. I'm very sorry. Another type of prajalpa is also to talking about other people. Now, this is a very, very, how do you say, widespread subject matter in talking. Johann Wolfgang Goethe used to say, for the human being, nothing and no one is more interesting than the human being. At the moment, my audience is most interested in the flapping of the tent, I realize. Don't worry, we won't fly away. This is nothing in comparison to a good monsoon storm in India. There, this tent would stand no chance. It would blow into the Himalayan mountains if the storm is there going that way. Anyways, so Prajalpa is also, when one talks about other being, oh, his dress, his sika. Oh, and do you know, she just wants a moosh. That's why she came to the camp. Moosh means husband. Oh, and so on and so forth. This is the talk about other humans. That is very natural. It comes just very, very easy. Look at him in his new glasses, you know, in new stuff. I would say 95% of Croatia is engaged in Prajalpa, in this talking about other people. I think it's a fair judgment and will not disturb anyone. Therefore, you find in the newspaper all these people. In Lord Krishna instructed Uddhava as follows. Whoever indulges in praising or criticizing the qualities and behavior of others will quickly become deviated from his own best interest by his entanglement in illusory dualities. This talk about other people can very easily go into a very dangerous path. This path, this dangerous path is, when you talk about others, you might easily want to establish your superiority. For instance, look at him, and he's a little foolish. All this in the material society, talking bad about others, is a very often found engagement, where one wants to establish his superiority. And now this Prajalpa can go into another dimension also, where you are envious about others' success. In this connection, there is a very nice story which I will want to tell to you to show you how just harmful this envious talk can be. Once there was a man who went into the forest and met a ghost. And he asked the ghost, "My dear ghost, please give me a boon." And the ghost said, "No problem, I'm a very powerful ghost. Ask for anything you want." So the man said, "Anything? I mean, then I want that I can have anything I want, anything I desire, which comes into my mind." "No problem," said the ghost. "But your neighbor will get double as much." "Okay," said the man. "The first thing I want is a wonderful kuchi, a house." Ghost said, "Tatastu, be it." When the man came home, he found a wonderful house where his hut used to be. And he went inside and he looked around, and it was really nice until he looked out of the window and he saw that His neighbor had a double, a two-story house. And the enviousness, or the envy, began to eat at him. And he ran back into the forest and said to the ghost, "Please, I want a four-story house." At this moment, the ghost smiled and said, "Tatastu, be it." And so, when he came home and he saw his four-story house, he was totally enlivened and ecstatic. But when he looked out of the window, he saw his neighbor's house had eight stories. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And again the envy in his heart began to eat away his life. He did not want anything for half a year. But then he went into the forest. And he said, "My dear ghost, may I lose one of my eyes." He didn't mind the pain. He ran back to his house. He went to his neighbor. And he became so happy when he saw his neighbor had lost two eyes. He was celebrating the feast of envy. When you talk about others, don't go the road of enviousness. Don't go the road of wanting to appear superior to them. If you talk of others, then praise them for their qualities in Krishna consciousness. Now, amongst all kinds of prajalpa, it is analyzed that one type of prajalpa is the most dangerous. And I give you a tip. Tomorrow I will ask for this type of prajalpa. Who could imagine what it is? I have led you a little bit to it. We spoke about talking uselessly, just making the air hot with one's breath, talking in order to defeat another and show that one is right. We were talking about the truth as an ideal. Then we were talking about, you know, useless arguments, newspapers, prajalpa, TV prajalpa, and etc. We were talking about prajalpa in terms of talking about others. Now my question is, what is the most dangerous type of prajalpa? Yes. That we talk badly about Vaishnavas. This bad talk about Vaishnavas can absolutely destroy whatever advancement in Krishna consciousness we have made. It is compared to a dark black to a black elephant which enters into a nice garden and tramples all the seeds and plants and finishes them. In the 10th canto we hear this shloka: "My dear king, when a man talks bad about great souls, all his benedictions of longevity, that is long life, beauty, fame, religion, blessings, and promotion to higher planets will be destroyed." You can lose all your advancement by talking bad about devotees. It is mysterious. It works immediately. If you see a devotee who has a different opinion than you and a different mindset altogether, don't talk bad about him. No, each person is different, just like each flower. Although they may appear the same, they are different. Do you know that in this creation there is not one thumbprint which is equal? My thumbprint will be all is different than the thumbprints of everyone else in the room. That's the one thing which is unique about myself. I have a thumbprint about my body. You know, there are others. If you want to be proud of your thumbprint. But of course, this is absolutely ridiculous. My point is, each person is different. Like thumbprints. You can't be agitated that I can't be agitated that Boris' thumbprint is different than mine and hate him because of this. In the same way, I should not be agitated if someone has a different mindset and therefore a different perspective on reality. This is very foolish if you become annoyed or agitated by the difference which you see in other people. It's a very immature and very childish vision. So, how can we overcome the bad, the tendency to talk idle, for idle talk? I want to read to you a very nice shloka in this connection from the Bhagavatam. It says, one should talk about Krishna. Please listen to this. Words that do not describe the transcendental personality of Godhead, but instead deal with temporary matters, are simply false and useless. Only those words that manifest the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord are actually truthful, auspicious, and pious. Those words describing the glories of the all-famous personality of Godhead are attractive, relishable, and ever fresh. Indeed, such words are a perpetual festival for the mind, and they dry up the ocean of misery. When you hear about Krishna, Krishna Katha, then the ocean of material misery becomes dried up and your mind celebrates a festival. Therefore, my dear devotees, dear friends and dear skeptics, read the Krishna book. Remember the Krishna book. Think of Krishna, how he goes in the morning around this time, no, he has gone already, with the many cows on his cow on into Vrindavan, how they play different games. You can think how Krishna plays on his flute, and all the moving things become immovable, like animals and humans. And the non-moving things become, they start to move like the stones. You know, once Krishna played on his flute, and it is described that the moving water became solid. At that time, there was a bird drinking in the water. And he was captured by the water. He couldn't get his beak out of the water because of this effect of Krishna's flute. This is fascinating. You can engage your mind and your talk power in such subjects. Why talk about the useless things in the of this world? Why not talk about the sound of Krishna's flute, which makes the moving things, you know, takes care that the molecular structure freezes You know, why not talk about something interesting? Why talk about the bad and good qualities of others? Why talk about useless subject matter? Hare Krishna. In this way, we have ended our first subject matter, Prajalpa. You know, the storm is so interesting still for many of you. May I just hear, Jelku, can you hear me acoustically in the back of the tent? Yeah? The storm is not too loud? Is my voice all right, or should I be louder? Better not. If we don't learn to talk about real things, we will always be miserable. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the frog who frogs in the night in a romantic way to attract a nice woman frog. Quack, 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 quack. And the one who hears it is not really only the women. The women also hear, who's talking the loudest and who is therefore the most masculine amongst the frogs. Who also hears is the snake, and by the sound of the frogs quacking, she will decide who's the fattest and biggest frog. Then she comes, it singles out that dream frog, the frog of her dreams, and then eats him up. This is what happens when you talk nonsense or idle talk. You will feel miserable. The snake of Maya will come and swallow your good qualities. Hare Krishna. Now the next point we are discussing this morning is Niyamagraha. Yes, Niyamagraha means too much attachment to or too much neglect of rules and regulations. Now, first of all, I would like to ask my audience, why do you think rules and regulations, or what do you think at all about rules and regulations? I think we all know that they have their place in our life. Why do you think rules and regulations are good? Why do you think you should have some rules and regulations in your life? We are human beings, and rules and regulations is a sign of civilization. That was one answer. Daya Sindhu. They help us advance in spiritual life. How? How? I cannot hear you acoustically, I'm sorry. Yes. For instance, as an example, I may not like to get up in the morning. I think we all have this symptom. But if I have the rule and regulations that I will come for each Mangal Arati, then this will help me to see the deities. Yes, what is another benefit? Rules and regulations free our consciousness from material bondage. They discipline our mind that we can, so that we can fix it. Last year, Sridhar Swami told us a story which I have discussed with a devotee just a little while ago, while we were sitting on the in the storm. He says, in the he said that in the world there are facts which we have to know in order to live properly. For instance, it is a fact, if you eat meat, you will get very bad karma. Or if you have illicit sex, your mind will become very agitated and it will be very difficult to make it cooperate in spiritual life. There are facts, and rules and regulations keep help us to keep in tune with these facts. If we break them, we will be broken. The example Sridhar Swami told last year is about a big warship. I do not think Croatia is rich enough to buy one of those, but there are warships where you can land 100 airplanes on. 100, maybe two. I do not know. Maybe 50. 100 is a little bit too much. 50. Let us say 50. I also do not know. Do you know these American monster ships? They land and so on and so forth. So to steer them is very, very difficult. You have to do this by computer, and it takes a lot of energy. Now, it happened once that such a warship was coming home and was seeing a light before it. And the lieutenant Most, here's warship, a man killer. Move out of the way, please. 20 degrees. And the Morsing came back. No, you move out of the way. Now, according to international law, all the small ships have to move out of the way. You can't function, you know, if you maneuver with these warships around little ships. So therefore, this law is given. And the lieutenant moused back, beep, 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 beep. Come on, we are the man killer, the big ship. You know, you better get out of the way, otherwise we can't guarantee your future. But again, it was coming back. Move out of the way, fast. Here's Ernest Seaman. Lieutenant thought, what is this? Should we drive over him? Just go over him and kill him? And he went to his captain and got his captain out of the bed, and the captain was coming and saying, come on, here's Captain Hornblower, fast, move out of the way, otherwise we sink you into the ocean. Then the signal was coming back, here's Ernest Seaman, your lightning house. You know what is a lightning house? In other words, it was not a little ship. It was the coast. And if you drive against the coast, even the big ship is finished. So this is a rules and regulations. If you may think it's a little thing, little ship, the rules have to move out of my way. I shouldn't keep the rules. They should go away. But no, the rules, these things are so powerful. If you break them, you will clash against them, and it is you who will suffer. Therefore, it is important to keep rules and regulations in spiritual life. Now, it is interesting to note that there are different rules in bhakti, which, let me say, which help us to go from step to step. In the beginning, for instance, your rule may be to chant 8 rounds and smoke 1 package of cigarette a day. Not 2 cigarettes a day. It's a smoke a package. I mean, this is a little far out, this example. Let us see 2 cigarettes. You think, my rule is 1 cigarette a day and 8 rounds. I was a chain smoker before, so I reduce. Now, when you are an initiated devotee, you cannot smoke 1 cigarette a day, even not half a cigarette a day. In other words, as you progress in your spiritual life, you should make sure that the rules which you give yourself are also helping you along the path. For instance, there are different initiations. When you receive the second initiation, you should be more clean than when you were when you had the first initiation. When you have the second initiation, you should sometimes go and perform puja on the altar, and you should preach. Being a brahmana, you should preach. If someone does not keep the rules and regulations which are on his level, he will come to fall. He will not make advancement. Therefore, you should only ask for any type of initiation if you can keep the rules. If you cannot keep the rules, better not be initiated. You will be better situated as someone aspiring for that state. If one breaks rules which are applying to one situation, if one takes vows at the initiation ceremony and breaks them, the result is much more severe than someone who has not made the vow and who has whose rules are, you know, just with I gave the cigarette example, if you know where he does not smoke two cigarettes but only one cigarette a day. Please try to not smoke at all. It is dangerous for health and for consciousness. But you understand my point. Keep the rules and regulations now. There are rules and regulations which are favorable for bhakti. They instill. This will get too complicated for. But I will say now the other case. When there is a rule and regulation, you should always know about the most important rule and regulation. For instance, there is one rule and regulation that a sannyasi should not cross the ocean. That's in the Vedic scriptures, because it is feared if a sannyasi moves to a western country, he might become influenced by the mlecha habits of the West. Therefore, this rule and regulation is there. If Srila Prabhupada would have kept this rule and regulation, we all would not sit here. There was a higher rule and regulation. This higher rule and regulation is explained in the Shastras. And I want to quote it to you. Smartavya satatam Vishnu. Vi smartavya najatushit. Sarve vidi. Nishedas yor etayor eva kinkara. This means remembering Krishna is the eternal duty. All other prescriptions mentioned in the Shastras have risen from this main prescription. All other rules and regulations are just servants of this. And I want to tell you a story which makes this very, very clear. It's a story of the Brahmana and the prostitute. Once there was a prostitute who received every day a lusty man in her house. Her neighbor was a Brahmana who chanted many Vedic mantras before he even got out of the house. The Brahmana sometimes heard the lusty from the house of the prostitute and became very agitated and decided to punish the prostitute for all her offenses against the fourth rule. And he rolled every day new lusty man. He rolled a stone before the house of the prostitute, so that at the end of the life of the prostitute, a whole mountain, almost as big as the Himalayan mountains, was before the door of the prostitute. Now the prostitute always thought, oh, moj dragi gospodin, ja sam nitkov, I'm only able to make my income like this because I have two left hands. You know, can't do anything. And I'm very, very sorry. I'm performing my function so that these lusty men would not run to a married woman and create great trouble and family affairs. I'm very sorry, it's a low function in the society. Yes, nam, medyutam, and so on and so forth. And she was thinking of Krishna, even in the moments where the adrenaline went through her body. So both of them, it is described, left their body at the same time. The prostitute was a millisecond first, and the brahmana a millisecond later. And they both went towards the gates of Vaikuntha, where the Vishnu Dutas stood. When the prostitute came, the Vishnu Dutas waved like this, come, come through, you go to the eternal kingdom of God. And when the brahmana came, they said, Chekai! You can't enter here. Because you have only thought of sex. Oh, said the brahmana. But the prostitute did it. No, she thought of Krishna. Don't you know Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita? Whatever you remember at the time of death, huh? That's where you go, sada tat bhava bhavita. So she goes back home, back to Krishna, and you go back to sexy land. So this makes really the point that in the most important thing we want to achieve in our lives is, and the most important rule is to think of Krishna. This is especially important when you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, your mind must be in the mantra. When you chant Hare Krishna, bring your mind into the mantra. For our Nama Ruchi devotee, very important. You must merge the mind in the mantra. If your mouth is chanting Hare Krishna and your mind is thinking enjoy, enjoy, or umarang, umogni, umogni, or what it is, and tired, 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 or just that is not proper japa. The meaning of japa is to have the mind with the chanting. You have heard we must be attentive in chanting. If you don't be attentive, if you are not attentive, you commit the greatest mistake you can do, because it is inattentive chanting will bring all the other offenses with it. This is a rule in sadhana. The mind must be with the spiritual subjects. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. The rules and regulations, in other words, are not just automatic things. Like one devotee yesterday asked what to do when things become a routine, where you don't do things out of a habit, without thinking, just under the compelling force of the routine. That is not real spiritual life. Put your mind where your actions are. This is a very, very important rule. All the other rules are only helping us for this. So, Hare Krishna, we have covered a lot of subjects. I want to give you a little summary But let me just before this make a little pause. Gogadada, I have only up to 11:30, isn't it? Started late. Actually, I will not make a summary. Why not? Because I want you to work. I want you to think. Tomorrow I will ask you in the beginning about the subject matters. If it is difficult for you to remember, you can either take notes. This is good in the seminar. I will make it easy for the note takers by just saying, this is a note point, this is a noteworthy point, and this is a... usually there are about four at each point. Or just you can think about it, so on. My dear audience, let this seminar be something which transforms you. Please don't let this seminar be just another information of data which you keep for a while in your mind like prisoners, and then they all escape. You should use this information in your practical life, and in this way transform your life and become a very advanced devotee. This seminar is meant to help you, but if you forget all the advices, because of Krishna. Thank you very much for listening to me. Please ask your relevant questions now. Yes. Yes. You said that the most dangerous form of prajalpa is offensive talk about Vaishnavas. What if we think bad about Vaishnavas? Usually in psychology we learn, you know, if you think about something, you can only keep it down for so much time. If you know, try to put a big marble plate over your thoughts and keep them all there. After some time, your thoughts, which are like corpses, like dead body, will become zombies and come out of the grave and in some way cause difficulties. If you think bad about a Vaishnava, you should somehow solve it before you start talking bad or acting badly towards him. If you think bad about a Vaishnava, you can, for instance, choose to think of his good qualities. Let us make an experiment. No. I'm not here in Germany where I'm always a little heavy. I will be a little moderate. Imagine we would take someone out of the audience, and we would put him before all of you. And we would ask the question, how do you like him? And he would stand there. And I would ask, how do you like his nose, by the way? And please now come a little bit close and smell his breath. How do you like his breath? And I would ask such offensive questions. How is his intelligence? I will put him a difficult question. Let us test him. How do you like his answer? In other words, what I want to gain, you can choose to concentrate on bad things. We all are born with bad things and with also good things. I could ask, how do you like the fact that he came to the summer camp? You would all say, dobro. How do you like the fact that he eats only prasadam? Dobro. How do you like the fact that he is trying to surrender to Krishna? Dobro. In other words, when you are thinking with people, you can choose to go for the bad things or for the good things. A first class Vaishnava will only go to the good things. He will only see the good things. A second class Vaishnava will see the good things and the bad things, but will choose to see the bad, the good things. A third class man will see the good things and the bad things, but he will choose to see only the bad things. And a fourth class idiot and rascal will only see the bad things and not the good things. So where do you want to be? Medyutam, to become either second or first class. Drugi means, I see your good things and your bad things, but I choose to concentrate on the good things. Or the first class, I only see the good things. If you want to come to this level, you have to train your mind. Start at the summer camp. Preachers would be lost in their lives if they would see only the bad things. You would become totally discouraged. I remember as a preacher coming into houses where only Kali was residing. You know, you could see the Kali. Big like anything, you know. And if you would not have consciously thought about, oh, this is a nice person. Oh, you would never have opened your mouth. Okay. For instance, if I would choose to see your bad things, I would think, oh, he has put a question, and in the midst of the question, he is turning his head somewhere else and it is totally absent-minded. He would look at his tape recorder. Okay. But if I think about the good things, I would think, oh, he has asked a nice question. This example is not a good example because you were concerned with the tape recorder. I'm very sorry. This example is not good, but I think you understand the principle. If I would think about my servant who always, you know, who always asks me questions when I'm in the Gayatri Mantra or somewhere, I would think, oh, what a bad person. But if I try to choose the good things, I would think, oh, he's so nice, he's serving me. Without him, I would die the next day, you know, and so on. You have to train this. Hare Krishna. This is such a good question. Thank you so much. This question is a good question. Let us learn to think positively. This is what also a dear personality who has who helps many people to become healthy, always says, the womb, everything starts in the womb. You have to learn to think positively in the mind about people. And this can be trained. It can be done. The mind has psychologically two functions, avara and para. Avara means it can go down. The lust, enviousness, and so on. And para means it can go transcendental. And you are the one who tells the mind. Don't allow your mind to tell you what you should think. Tell him he is only a clerk. He works under the intelligence, but mostly the mind is a rebellious clerk. He just spits in the face of intelligence and makes a mess in your brain.
Sorry.
All right. Anyone else? I could talk for another hour about this question. There are many more things which are important. This will be my last question, and the last question and the last answer. This question is a very interesting question. He says, how far can we go if we talk about those who are under us, who may not be as old in spiritual life, or who may have a very, who may have a simple service? How far can we go? The interesting thing is, only if we are a guru, we can talk to our inferiors, or those who are dependent on us, in a way where we give them examples and so on. This is dealt with by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Mother Sita, this gets now very interesting. Mother Sita asked Ramchandra a question. How can we recognize a man who is free from lust? You understand the question? What symptoms will he show? Are you interested in the answer? Yes. And Lord Ramachandra answered, he has three symptoms. The first symptom is, Dennis, yes. The question first, the symptom is, first, he will not think lustfully about women. The women will not think lustfully about men. In other words, the picture of women may come in his mind, but he does not think in a lustful or enjoying spirit about women, or men if you are a woman, and so on. The second symptom of a person who is free from lust is, he will not speak a lie. Ramachandra's answer. And the third symptom is, he will not speak in an undue, harsh form to inferiors. That means younger devotees. Oh, this idiot, this blah, blah, blah. He will not do that, because he is free from lust. Lust, in other words, this all-devouring enemy which devours us and keeps us separate from love. Love to Krishna. Is a very subtle thing, and to overcome it, we should not think in an enjoying spirit about the opposite sex. We should not speak lies, and we should not talk harshly about inferiors. Sometimes it happens that if you are in a responsible position, you have to correct someone, but you have to do it, you have to be sure that you do it in a benevolent way, not out of envy or hatred or hurt, but out of the desire to help. Hare Krishna. I want to end here because I'm sorry, Veerachandra, you are the next, isn't it? I did a little longer because we started late. The prasadam was late. But we will end here. Our next lecture is very important for the devotees in Croatia. It deals in how to deal with parents, for those of you who came later. It is given by our Veerabhadra Prabhu from Italy, and it is very important subject, and you can ask all these questions about Maika and Tata and how to deal, how to make them understand your way and keep them nice. So Veerabhadra, so I will end my program here. Thank you very much. Tomorrow we come to two very important things, and then the day after tomorrow we will go onto the positive side. This is now the what we should avoid, and the day after tomorrow it's what we should do. Let us end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Radha Kunya Bihari ki jai, Sisi Nitai Gaur Sunda ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.